Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. You know what, folks? Here we are, beginning of the year, 2026. It's a great time to start looking at refreshing your personal brand. Folks, if your headshot is outdated or unflattering, it might be sending the wrong message before you even get in the room. Today, we're talking with Chris Gillette, a former attorney who's become one of the nation's top headshot photographers and facial expression coaches. He says the image on your face could be holding back your career, and explains why small body language cues can make or break your first impression. Chris also shares why AI-generated portraits still miss the human spark and how anyone can look more confident, trustworthy in a single frame. Chris, I'm really grateful that you're on the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's great. I want to talk about headshots, but I also am one of the biggest spendthrift photographers in the nation. So at some point, maybe you can have me back and we can talk about my relationship with money, because I think I need your help on that. But today, we're going to help you with the headshots and the images online.
First big question, why do you say a bad headshot can quietly damage someone's career? You know what? With that, there's obviously some big mistakes people make. And quite frankly, most people don't even realize it.
You're absolutely right. When I was a lawyer, I would get these terrible headshots. And all I would think about was, do I like it? And the answer was always no. And most people, that's all they're thinking about. And it's a certainly good thing to think about. You should like it and you should know if you like it or not. But if you're using these for business, if this is part of your professional image, just think about it. This is your digital handshake. It is the first impression that you're typically going to make with people. People are going to say, oh man, I had a terrible relationship with money. I was all just backwards and my buddy Steve helped me out. And then they go clickety clack. And the first thing they see is that picture of you. And it makes a big first impression. Everybody, like, the research on first impressions is legion. They're formed almost instantaneously and they're sticky. Once they're formed, it's hard to break them. And the visuals make a much bigger difference than the text does. So if you've got a shot that's sending the wrong, forget about whether you like it or not, that's sending the wrong message. For example, do you look like, if you're a litigator, do you look like a scared child? Think about this. We typically do business with people that we like and trust. Do you look authentic? Do you look trustworthy and nice? Do you look authoritative and confident? And most people are just like, oh, I didn't get that last shot, or I shouldn't have worn that jacket or whatever it was. The expression on the face is the most important part of it. We don't have time to go into it. It's a long story, but my path to getting into headshots. But part of it was, I finally got this shot of myself one day that changed how I felt about myself. It was like, okay, I don't look like Clooney, but I look pretty good. I should be happy with this. And I was proud of it. Took my self-acceptance gap down to a manageable level. And the biggest difference between that shot and all the bad lawyer headshots I've been given by the guys who came in and set up in our conference room and said, okay, Mr. Gillette, smile, besides really good lighting, was the expression on my face. And the expression on your face is the thing that most people don't get, because most people, they look fake or they look freaked out and that's sending a really bad first impression.
You're just like running me through my whole business life right now with my photo of my face. Because I can see that fake smile where somebody tries to do the glamour pose and you're like, oh, okay. But if I can understand if somebody feels approachable, personable in the photo, it makes a big difference.
And there's no right way to feel about it other than how, in this case, Steve feels about it or how Chris feels about it. I could get three new young lawyers in here. A lot of my clients are lawyers, not surprisingly, given my network. But let's say one of my law firm clients sends in three brand new women. And the first one, if I ask them all, hey, how do you want to appear? What image do you want to project? I might get three terribly different answers. Like the first one might say, what did everybody else do? I want to do what everybody else did. And the next one may say, I'm tired of being underestimated. I want to look really strong, really confident. And then the third young woman might say, I like it when they underestimate me. I want them to underestimate me. Those are three completely different goals. None of them are wrong. It's how they want to project themselves. And normally that's not even talked about or discussed when you're told to, okay, Steve, smile. And you do your fake picture smile.
A lot of times people look like they belong in a lineup too.
Yeah. And it's not their fault. That's the thing too. I don't want people to think I'm beating up on folks. I'm not. Like, when it's not your area of expertise, headshot world is weird. And you can be the most confident, great person in real life. And then you walk in there and they turn this way, sir. And then smile. And it's just, it's, you're set up for failure. People get good ones using that methodology. It's amazing. They're fighting the odds if they do.
Oh, no. I said, the reason why, as soon as we found out that you were going to be on our show, I started looking at different headshots and I go, you know what? Those eyes look like that guy that was on the news last night for beating on somebody's house and his eyeballs are like this. And I'm like, yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good photo.
And yet it's very normal. People get it. Like, when I was taking the very last professional headshot I had taken before I started doing it to myself, I was in my bathroom the night before looking at myself in the mirror thinking, what am I going to do? Honestly, if you'd asked me what I wanted to look cool, I would like to look cool and handsome. And I tried a teeth smile and then I tried a lips together smile. And I thought I looked crazy in both, but I thought, man, my teeth got a little color to them. I'll do a lips together smile. And I ended up looking, at best, I looked happy to be there, like happy to be employed. I did not look like a guy with a big partner with a big book of business. But at worst, I looked freaked out and creepy.
That's funny. That first smile, it's the smile that, like, when you see people on the local news, it's that. I was taught to do that a long time ago when I started going on local and national news. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. That's what they've been told. Oh, that's funny. You know what? We teach, you know, what I want to ask is, how does somebody, what are the important things that people need to be thinking about when they're going about getting a headshot, especially in their profession, whether they're a lawyer, financial advisor, doctor, or you're an executive at a company? What would be the things to really think about?
First thing to think about, I think, is what we just discussed. Hey, what image do I want to project? How do I want to look? Some guy might think, hey, I want to look friendly. I want to look like the guy they can imagine telling their story to. And the next guy might say, I want to look like I'm not going to get out lawyered. You got to figure that out, because if you don't, you're just throwing a dart at the dartboard and it just kind of lands where it lands. So you need to take some control over that because it's really important. And almost none of your peers are going to do that. So it's a great thing to do. The second thing I would say is that you've got to give some thought to expression, because expression is the number one thing in these deals. I had a client contact me one time and she said, hey, you usually crop kind of like I am now. Can we pull back a little bit? And I said, why do you want me to do that? She said, because I want to cross my arms so that I'll look confident. So I could rant, by the way, for 3 minutes on that if you want me to. But the thing that makes you look the most confident is the confidence comes from your eyes. So big eyes look like fear. And closed down eyes are confident. This is Steve. I'm not prepared. I don't know how to talk about headshots with you today. I hope we get through this versus, don't worry about it, man. I got it. I know this stuff easily. That's where the confidence comes from. By the way, when they make women cross their arms, they'll usually do it where one hand is, humans cross their arms with one hand up, one hand down. All right.
Really?
That's an arms cross. It's like a knot. Like when you do crisscross applesauce and tie your shoes. That's what it is. It's just a way that you can put your hands and it doesn't take a lot of effort. The minute that down hand comes up and you got two up hands, then you got to hold on to yourself and it becomes a self-hug. And a self-hug is a self-comforting gesture. It is the antithesis of confidence. And yet they do it to women all the time. I see them do it to men, which is crazy because it's a very feminine position, but it does not look confident. It looks weird. And especially if they've got on a jacket, it's harder to do, or they're busty, it's harder to do. You want to look confident, it's in the eyes. But those are things that, while they're important points, if I were giving advice to my sister and she's like, hey, I want to get a good shot for my business, how do I do it? The best thing to do is to find a good, and by the way, I'm in Houston, Texas. Most people listening to this are not in Houston, Texas. I'm not trying to sell. Find in your area a really good headshot photographer, somebody who can coach you, somebody who is not going to say, okay, smile, 1, 2, 3. Somebody who's actually going to work with you, coach you, and I can give you a couple of pointers about how to do that, because that's the way to really do it. I practice this stuff. I do it a lot. So I know how to shoot myself. It's a lot easier if you've got somebody coaching you to do it. So if you want, I can give you a couple of good pointers about how to find a good coach.
Let's start with that. But before we do that, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Chris Gillette.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, I truly want to thank you for tuning in and appreciate you sharing your friends and family with the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. These networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us on Facebook, join the Steve Sexton Insiders Club at savingwithsteve.us. Again, let's get back to the show here with Chris Gillette. We've got some great information here that we want to just keep going on with. Now, Chris, one of the things that I experienced early on when I started doing local media, national media, they brought us out of Florida and we were getting ready to do this little commentary thing for, it was like a Fox News thing on financial people or finances. And they started taking pictures of us. But the thing is, they took 300 or 400 pictures within about a 15-minute period for each person. It was like that. And then they put them up on this big screen and the guy went, no, that's it. And oddly enough, that's the one that ended up on my book cover. But it was one of those things that it's probably the only picture I've ever taken that I've gotten the most compliments from. It's just very interesting about that. And one of the things here is when you, that small posture or body language shifts, you know what? You see the sideways, the headways. I see you're like this, and that's probably perfect for you. But is it different for everybody?
Oh, man, we could do 2 hours on this. We just came out of the last segment talking about me ranting about arms crossing. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I'll give you a couple that I see a lot that are huge mistakes that people can stop from happening. But yeah, they do make a difference. It's funny because like in this frame, at least I don't know exactly how I appear in the final deal, but I'm framed up like I like a headshot. Just a little bit of shoulder and then the full head and a horizontal frame I love. But it's endlessly fascinating. There's all these just little things that can make a difference. For example, here's the one that drives me the most nuts. I'll start with this. Just the way the head is tilted can tell a story. The way I am now, this is just how I'm standing. I'm not seated, I'm standing. I like to do these standing for energy purposes and posture purposes, but this is just kind of how I am. But in a headshot, the way the head is tilted. So you got basically three ways that you can move the head. You can yaw, you can pitch, or you can roll it. And I had a guy who used to fly jets in the Navy in here, I don't know, four or five years ago. And he was having trouble like with this. And at some point I was like kicking a little right rudder and it worked. It was awesome. But just the way the head is tilted can tell a story. And sometimes it might be one you don't want. So here's the general principle. If I'm at an angle and I tilt the head towards this closer shoulder, this is a softer, more feminine way for me to stand. I'll explain it in a minute. This is stronger. This is Sweetie Pie Chris. And this is Chris doesn't care what you think. This is stronger.
So right down the middle is I don't care. And okay.
Away from the near shoulder. Into the near shoulder is softer. This is stronger. I've seen law firms where every man's headshot, he's in there. I think what happens is the guy will go, turn that way. And then they'll like, look this way. That's going to work. No, turn your head back this way. And then they're there. And it's sweet looking. Most men aren't going to want that. You can ask them, I guess. Maybe there's some that would. But look, if you're a big burly guy and you're a pediatric dentist, okay, maybe we make you look just a little more like a caregiver. But litigators probably don't want to look sweet. I think it is, I think this exists because like it's whether it looks like you're protecting your throat or not. It's one of your soft bits. So for our gentler viewers, I'm not going to use cuss language, but this is going to be a little more aggressive. This is one of your soft bits. You're growing your eyes, your throat, like hard strikes there can knock me out. And you do that, I'm gone alarmingly fast. Here I'm protecting it. Here I'm not. It's open to you because you are not a threat to me. I think that's what it is. It's okay. Typically a more feminine position, a little more masculine position. So can be huge. It's a tool. Like I said, maybe the burly man wants to just give a little bit of more caregiver feel, or maybe it's a really pretty woman who's tired of being underestimated because, oh, she's so pretty and she wants to look strong. Don't cross your arms. Get the eyes confident, which is to decrease your palpebral fissures. That's for the doctor.
So here's a question. I want to ask this. You have financial advisors, you have CPAs, you have people that provide service, and their whole world is about trust and communication. So when somebody says, hey, I want to be approachable but trustworthy, how does that look? It's obviously not a lawyer's look. It's not that I want to go after you look, or yeah, I want to feel like you can take me look, so to speak.
And this is why it's good to work with somebody who, oh, I promised them last segment, don't let me forget, to give them some tips to find a coach, who a photographer.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that. Definitely. I've got that written down.
See, you're on top of it. I should have known. But so there's not like a formula where it's every human, if they do ABC, will get that effect. There are a lot of variables here. And most of these things are more like heuristics than they are laws. That's one of the reasons why it's good to try it so that you can see exactly how it reads. But I'll give you a couple of ideas. So let's say somebody is a financial advisor. They want to look like somebody I can trust with the nest egg. They're not going to mate off me. But also, I want to like my money guy. Hopefully, he's not just calling me once a year on my birthday. By the way, guys, my old money guy, that's what he did. My new money guy does not do that. I talk to him all the time. And oh man, we should do a segment on that. I jumped ship and it was hard and I didn't want to do it, but my new guy was so good. Anyway, table that. But let's say you want to look really confident, you know your stuff, but like a nice, trustworthy, likable person. So we alluded to some of these pieces before, but the confidence comes from up here. So if it's like this, it's like, hey, I don't know, we've had hot markets for a while, maybe it'll continue, versus, you know what, we're expecting a bit of a downturn in like maybe 18 months or so, so we're going to get you a little liquid so that we can weather that, whatever it is. Confidence and authority come from not doing that, from the lower lids tensing up a little bit. Easier said than done, but that's basically what it is. That's why you need a coach, because you can't do it on your own probably. But if I only do that, then I look like a jerk. So I got to do something with my mouth, because that's where the likability comes from. Confidence, likability. The lips together smile, which is my thing, or the full teeth smile, those are going to adjust the ratio of confidence to likability typically. So if maybe you feel like your vibe is going to be a little more friendly, maybe the teeth smile is the way to go. Or maybe if you want to, you don't want to look like a jerk, but you want to look super, super confident, then maybe the lips together is the way to go. But it's not going to, that formula won't work for everybody, because some people just can't do one or the other. Or for some people, they'll say, no, that doesn't look like me. And that's definitely something to consider. But the confidence and the likability in the face are a big part of it. And then there are going to be other factors too. Is it a 10-year-old shot, or is it a fake shot, or is it a poorly done shot, which is going to make you look a little less prestigious? Because if you're good at what you do, well, then you must have the resources and the time, and you're not a low effort person, you would do this well. So if we do things in general well with the shot, then that would bring in all these other things that we haven't talked about. Are we going to shoot on solid backgrounds? Are we going to do it in the office? Are we going to do it outside? What am I going to wear? Am I going to wear a tie? Am I not going to wear a tie? All those questions start to come into play and really affect all of this stuff. And that's why with my clients, when we work, we're trying all these things. If he's, I don't know, I'm not sure I even need a tie. Let's shoot a tie. Let's see what we think. Because sometimes it ends up being our favorite. Usually not, but sometimes it does. And if we try it and we don't like it, hey, at least we tried it. We were circumspect about it. But there is, in this easy frame, there are so many variables that it's part of what keeps it fun.
So let's talk a little bit about those glamour photos. Is that something that makes sense for the corporate world, or doing that? Because you see these things with the, I don't know, what do you call it? The fuzziness. So everything's up there except for the, you know, like it's, you can tell it's been touched up and it's a, it looks glamour. The hair is perfect, all that kind of stuff. Is that the right thing to do? Because I personally, when I look at those, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
It depends on the person. If that individual thinks that's the way that she wants to present herself, then I mean, I might counsel her not to, because it's typically not my favorite. That young woman who came in and said, oh, I like it when they underestimate me. I wouldn't have known that unless I talked to her about it. Ultimately, it's the individual's choice to present themselves they want to, even if you and I might say, yeah, I don't know if I would have done that. People are going to do what they do. Yeah, I don't like it. I can't remember the last time I saw one of those, but I want people to look good. I think the more classic, the better. Classic is going to be more timeless. Classic, I think, looks more prestigious. And it's going to probably look more like, if we're doing whatever we do at a high level, it's probably going to look more like our clients too. Probably not my favorite, but I would say ultimately it's up to that person. But sometimes there's not a hard line between that and something else. Sometimes I'll have lawyer clients, but maybe they're more conspicuous personal injury lawyers, or maybe they're more high-end divorce lawyers, and they want just a little bit more glamour than that stiff, static, corporate-y looking lawyer headshot that they would typically get. One of the nice things about doing this collaborative session where we're reviewing shots, talking about the vibe, changing elements, is that we can push it in that direction and maybe just hit something that's iconic for that person, rather than a, yeah, you should do that, or yeah, you should never do that. With my female clients, if women work with me, they work with my hair and makeup artist. There are no exceptions. And I lose a lot of clients because of that, as you can imagine. But the shots on my website, that's the process. It's so funny. People will say, hey, I want to work with you, but, and then what about, can I bring my hair and makeup person? Or I got butchered at my cousin's wedding. I don't want to do, it's, hey, like, why are you trying to hire me? I like your work. That's how I do it. And that allows us to take, I don't know why I equivocated, allows us to take better control of the, hey, do we make it a little more glamoury, or do we dial it back a little bit? And just that fact alone, I bet there's nobody else in Houston who does that, allows us to get more control over that. Are we pushing it a little more glamoury, or are we pulling it back element?
I think that's wonderful, because then you, as a coach, could actually have a little control on helping them put about a better, I want to say, product, so to speak, because really what a photo is a product for you, and that's going to help you. So if you have control over that as the person being the coach, that makes a big difference. But I can still understand how people on one side would say, you know what, I feel comfortable that this person is doing my hair and my makeup and all that stuff, and I've done it for years and so on and so forth. So they think they make them look really nice.
Yeah, they can go shoot with somebody else.
Perfect. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Chris Gillette.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money. Right now we're talking to Chris Gillette, and we're talking about refreshing your 2026. But we've been talking about having the right headshot, the way it looks, the muscle movements, your eyes, your mouth, to project what you want to project, to make sure you have people view you as the person they want for the job from the very first impression. But now one of the big things and a lot of questions that people come up with is, hey, a lot of people are now relying on AI. And Chris, I'd love your take on, why do you believe AI-generated images fail to capture genuine leadership and likability? Because, you know what, there's just tons going out there with AI and how people can adjust things, the whole shot. And we even saw Elon Musk the other day on TV showing how his little AI generation can really adjust photos, which was very interesting.
Yeah, I think AI as a tool for photo editing is fantastic. There are people, though, that will have completely AI generated headshots of themselves. Now, I got to start from the beginning and say I am obviously biased when I talk about this issue because I do real ones for a living. But it's crazy to me. This is going to be the segment where it's hard for me not to cuss because I get really worked up about it. It's crazy to me. Like, I would never on a dating website. First of all, I'm a 58-year-old man. I would never get on my phone and make up fake pictures of myself. But if I did, I would never put them on a dating website. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be if, you know, you're out with a drink with Sally Ann and she says, oh, that was such a cool picture. Where was that? And I got to either lie to her, which great, man of integrity, or say, oh, that's an AI shot. That's not real. It's just embarrassing. It's a low effort. So AI, the fake AI headshots are equivalent to the bad headshots of the past. The JCPenney's, the ones you get at the conference, although every now and then this can be good. Just the bad headshots that you've gotten. That's what the low effort people do. It's like cutting yourself out of a group shot at a wedding, and that kind of works for a while. It's low effort, first of all. Second, and I should have said this at the beginning too. For some people, maybe it's an okay solution. Let's say you've got a single mom and she's tight on time and tight on money and she gets a bump up at work and now all of a sudden she really needs a headshot like on LinkedIn or something. Okay, maybe that's, as long as she feels like it resembles her enough, maybe that works for her. But for me, the type of people who end up hiring me, somebody like you who's an expert in his area, I just think it's so weird. I just think it's such a loser thing to do. First of all, remember, we do business with people, we tend to do business with people that we like and trust. And what is less authentic than a fake picture of yourself? And it's a betrayal of trust too, because it's unethical. It purports to be two things it's not. It purports to be a photograph, and it is not. It was never a photograph. And it purports to be a view, and it's not. And God, maybe it's my age showing, but it just feels so weird to me. I think people are already getting sick. I've heard the term AI slop, where people will be talking about, is this video real or is this picture real? And somebody will say, it's AI slop. I think I thought before AI, we had figured out how to make ourselves as distant and inauthentic as possible with the online stuff. And now it's just like to a new order of magnitude. It's crazy. I'll give you a couple of stories. Oh, go ahead. I was going to give you a couple of stories.
It's interesting. I actually had an interview with one of the top dating experts, and she'd explained to me the major dating websites, they actually check for AI-generated photos and won't allow somebody to add on there if they're like that anymore.
I wonder why they do that.
You know what? That's called romance scams. And you talk to Olivia, too. You see this person that looks perfect, and then they show up. You're like, whoa, that's not perfect. It's like me showing up with hair. It's not going to happen.
It's crazy. And people are just, and I know, I remember when I was a kid, I can't remember what it was, but I was talking to my mom about something and I said, nobody thinks that. And she said, oh, son, in this wide world, there is somebody who thinks that. So there are going to be people who think it's a great idea. One time I never on LinkedIn, I just connect with people. I put on content. That's all I do. I never sell, but they do it to me all the time. And probably you too.
Oh yeah, I get that too.
So I got a connection from somebody and they started talking to me in messages, and it was a picture of an AI picture of a young Asian woman. And she's asking some questions. And then she says, hey, I think this might be a good fit. I'd love to set up a call with you and our CEO. And I was thinking, I'm not sure that I'm not talking to the CEO right now because I don't know who I'm talking to. It looks like it's a fake, or maybe it was one of those AI agents or something. I don't even know if I'm talking to a human. It's so weird. I have a friend her name's Carrie. She was in TV news, Utah, a lot of her career, but she finished in the Manhattan, or at least the New York market. And so very successful at it, really pretty blonde. She's with it, really sharp. You'd love her. She's retired now. She's a mom. She has a consulting business. And we follow each other on LinkedIn. And I saw she'd put up a picture of herself that was clearly, it was like you could see it a mile away. And this is a sophisticated woman. This is not a dummy. And so, of course, I sent her a message and I said, catfisher. And then she responded and she said something like, I know, and I needed some pictures and I didn't have any. With a little bit of makeup and some good lighting, it's not too far off. And I said, Carrie, If you really think that, you're catfishing yourself. And then you know how they are sometimes. She's, am I that rough in real life? And I was like, no, you're beautiful, but I love your face, but that's clearly not you. And it resembles you. But this media savvy, sophisticated woman was like, yeah, this is good. It's just insane to me. And I have nothing but the highest amount of contempt for it.
Thank you. That was clear. You know what? Let's I actually understand and agree with your point on AI, because I check out a lot of people. And if I see the AI side of things where you can genuinely tell, even with pitches that we get for the show, that it's been created by AI and or pictures, and you got to go, okay, let me go look this up on LinkedIn. Let me go look this up somewhere else. And that picture is a little different. I say goodbye to those because I don't know what I'm going to get when somebody shows up. And that's really very important to me, especially if I'm looking to meet somebody to engage them for work or something like that. So the AI thing is very important to me, and I actually agree with your point. But one of the things I want to take a step back on, and going back to what one of the big questions that we have, and you put it in your talking points, is how can somebody look more relaxed? Because I probably got 100 emails. How can I look more relaxed in a photo? Because I always look like I'm uptight. I don't know. I'm not saying me, but I do feel that way sometimes when I'm trying to take pictures, because I want to make sure I have the right smile and I want to make sure my teeth just barely touch my bottom lip and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes when I do that, it looks not very good. So if you could help us with that, that'd be wonderful.
So let's start by examining why that happens. And like with a lot of stuff there's probably more than one cause, but the main one is, think about it. You see a little picture of yourself somewhere on the screen while we're doing this, but have you thought once about the expression on your face, or have you just been talking to me?
Oh no, I've thought a couple of times. You make me feel self-conscious when you're talking about things.
Oh really? Okay.
You probably saw me do that.
So that's a bad example.
Here's the TV.
I withdraw the question. In most of your life, when you're milling around, when you're doing your Steve stuff, you never think about what your face is doing.
Not
never think about it. And then all of a sudden, boy, now I'm thinking about it. And now I know I got to do something. And I never think about doing something. I don't know. And so that's a big part of it. You all of a sudden, you're hyper aware of what your face is doing. And I remember this before I knew what to do. I remember thinking, I got to do something. And you don't know what to do. You are set up for failure. So that's a big part of it. For some people, maybe there's an added element of just being nervous about it, or they don't really like how they look in real life. So they're really worried about how they're going to look in the picture. So those are pretty major forces driving them to the not looking relaxed in the shot. There are probably a number of tips I could give you, but the biggest one, it sounds like I was sent here by the Headshot Guild. Go find a good headshot photographer. But really, that's what a good headshot photographer does. A good headshot photographer isn't just somebody going, okay, smile. They're coaching you. When I work with people, I go get them. My studio is hard to find in this complex. And so I go get them to make it easy on them so they don't have to get anxious about it. But also I'm sizing them up the whole way that we're taught walking. I'm probably carrying stuff for them. I'm sizing them up. I'm like, oh, this guy does this all the time. I got to worry about that. Or this guy has the 1,000-yard stare all the time. So I got to think about that. Or it's Steve. This guy is so convivial. I'm not worried about him. I know this guy's going to be easy. And I'm usually right about it. So by the time I get them in here, I don't know how I'm going to get them where I need to, but I know what some of the difficulties are going to be and some of their strengths as well, and process it. And also I'm just talking to them a lot of the time. I'm getting them in position, get them in there, bring in here a little bit, come in, almost like the dentist guy. I was like, what did you do last? Were y'all doing anything this summer?
Does this look like
a dentist? Yeah, this feels like a dentist to people. Go to the dentist, people. The last thing you need in your life are dental problems. Is that a good saving with Steve tip? Don't neglect your teeth,
guys. The dental guy.
Maintenance is better than the fixes. But a good headshot photographer can figure out your strengths and weaknesses, what work you through them. And everybody's different. Part of the fun for me is sometimes I will directly tell people what to do. Hey, stop doing this. Close your eyes down. Or sometimes I'll just say something offensive to them and then they'll react and smile. Okay, that was too big. Dial it down. I use constant lights instead of strobes. Multiple reasons. One of the reasons I use constant lights is sometimes the 1,000-yard stare guy will walk in there and he'll instantly look cooler and more confident because we've got the eyes squinched up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't really talk about that much, but go Google pictures of Brad Pitt on the red carpet. He's constantly doing that. Google pictures, headshots of him when he was, I don't know, like in the 80s, when he's just starting, he didn't know what to do. And he's a little Adonis, but he looks freaked out and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if somebody coached him or if he figured it out, but on the red carpet, he's always doing the right thing with the eye. But yeah, the main thing is if you can find a coach to help you, that's better. I'll tell you what I did, if this helps anybody.
Hey, Chris, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back with more Saving with Steve and Chris Gillette.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I'm getting right to it because Chris is giving us some wonderful tips here. Like, now let's just talk about visual habits that people fall into, like forced smiles, blank stares, weakening their professional, the image. And I'm reading that right from the talking point, because a lot of people say, you started alluding to it with the person with a 1,000-yard stare. A lot of that has to do with the coach of helping you get what they need out of you in order to do the right photo. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's all essentially correct. I think when we left off, we were going to talk about, I was going to give an example of something that I did when I was trying to figure this stuff out that helped me to get better shots of myself. Because there are all these different things that people will do. Some of them are helpful, some of them are not. And there are so many of them that I'd say it's best handled with a coach. But if you're trying to roll your own, one of the things that I started to do was, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but I would get in front of the mirror so I could see what my face is doing. And I would fake a laugh. And it would be something like a real one, not a sarcastic one, like a real, I'm an actor. How would I fake? I would make that exhale sound though. And I would watch what my eyes would do. The lower lids come, raise up. It's not a squint. It's not the upper and the lower converging, because that's like it can look cool, but that's like you're outside and it's bright. It's just the lower lids squinching up. And you know you're doing it right if you can jack your brows too at the same time. Because if I'm squinting, I can't raise my brows. I was
trying to do it with your...
Yeah. But mainly just getting in front of the mirror and doing that. Again, I'm a lips together smiler typically. I like it on myself. I like the taking that ratio in favor of confidence. But that worked for me and started to get me in the right direction. And it's not always going to work. I'm not saying if you get in front of a picture and they say 1, 2, 3, and you go, that it'll work. But that's why I say do it in front of a mirror, because first time you do it, you might jack your eyes open because you're faking a laugh and it's not going to be as genuine as a real one. But when you work on it, you kind of watch what it's doing and you keep in mind some of the things I've said about, hey, you want the confident eyes. You don't want the big eyes, even though that's what mom called for. That's going to make your smiles look fake and make you look freaked out and not very confident. But doing the mirror work, I think, helps. But a far better solution is just finding a coach that can get you where you need to be.
That's perfect. Okay. So now, how often should somebody update a headshot? What are the signs that it's time to refresh what you're doing? Because, you know, I purposely went and looked at LinkedIn and like, yeah, that looks 10 years old. That looks 5 years old. Yeah, that's a little outdated. That looks like that person is 30, but yeah, I can tell by their information that they might be in their 50s. So things have changed.
I think you've given us a good working solution right there. If Steve is going to look at your picture and say, I don't look like you anymore, that might be a good time to do it. I find for my clients, I don't know that I've had people go beyond 6 years with a shot. I've had people come back within a year, and it just depends. There are going to be drastic events like you changed your hair color, or you got a drastically different haircut, or now you figured out that you look more masculine with that beard. Guys are, for many reasons, so lucky now. When I was a young guy, maybe you knew one dude with a beard, and now it's so common and they look great. I love them, especially if they're well-groomed and it's a good shape for the person's face, can look fantastic. If you didn't have it before and you got one now, yeah, it's probably time to update. I know that sounds obvious, but I still see people not doing it. Some people, and there's not a right way to feel about it. Some people are going to think, hey, I want an iconic shot of me, and that's just going to be me everywhere. They might end up using it more than a person who thinks, oh, no, I want some variety. I don't want people to keep seeing the same thing over and over again. There are going to be other factors too. All of a sudden, maybe you're watching what you eat, and maybe you're working out or something. Your body composition's gotten better. That's one of the reasons I like real shots, is because like I've been working on that stuff and I love it when I see it in the shot. Wow, my jawline looks really chiseled, or man, I think my shoulders look great. And so it's fun to capture that stuff. So those might be a good reason to do it. But I think most people are going to either be swayed by, hey, this doesn't look like me anymore, I need to update it. Or, and that could be age too. And some of us, it's going to happen faster than others, but it could be just the, hey, I need some variety, I want to mix it up.
Okay. Now, you know what? There's one thing you wish everybody you work with, whether it be attorney, executive, entrepreneur, knew before they stepped in front of a camera. What's the big thing here?
That's a great question. I don't know that I've gotten that one before. And my mind goes to the emails that I send people to prepare them. One of the things I tell them is about the clothing. The clothing, while not the most important element in the frame, definitely affects the vibe. And if you look at my stuff, the clothing is pretty simple. The clothing is more classic. Oh, here, I'll give women, I should be charging for this. This is a great tip. Most women, especially lawyers, if you don't tell them what to do, they'll wear the business blazer with a high crew neck top and maybe that little diamond drop. And then 25% of them will do a bold lip. I don't know why they're doing the bold lip. Like, why are we doing after five? Are we celebrating something? And then 25% of the bold lips will be gummy. Like, you shouldn't be doing a bold lip if you have a gummy smile. So one of the things that I love to tell women is that besides your face and hair, the most feminine things we have going on in this frame are your neck and your collarbones. And necklines that show those look so good to me compared to the others. It's, I think, totally work appropriate. It's not cleavage. It's just neck and collarbone. And instead of wearing a high crew neck top, if you wear a V or a scoop, go to my website. We'll give you the website at the end of this deal, and you'll see tons of examples of this. And it looks so good to me. It's a great way to level up over your peers, because most of them aren't going to do it for some reason. I don't know why, but the clothing can make a difference in that way. That's super important for people to know. I also want people to know, hey, we're not going to do this in 5 minutes. I can probably do an okay shot in 5 minutes, but if we really want to craft an iconic shot for you where it is the right vibe, and you don't know the vibe, you may have some ideas about it, but until we start looking at the shots on the monitor, that's when we start to figure out, ooh, where did that come from? It's going to take a little bit of work. Just figuring out angles. Sometimes people will come in and they'll say, oh, no, I like my right side. And then I'll shoot them on their left. And it's like, are you sure? Your left looks. And then they'll change their mind about it. So the discovery that's going on, the crafting, it's almost like drafting a document for work. We do a rough draft and then we redline it, we revise it, edit it, whatever you guys call it. And that is super, super important as well.
Wow, that's great. I never really thought of that. So that's now for men, but it's either an open collar or a suit. What's the best vibe there?
Again, the person needs to figure out what's right for them. I can't tell them. I do love the no tie jacket, button down mm-hmm. shirt, no tie. It is like a contemporary gentleman's uniform. You look like a serious dude, but it's just cooler. He could be an actor, an athlete, an artist, the guy who owns the company, the guy who just sold the company. It's versatile. It's handsome on men. I love it. I think it's a huge mistake not to try it. Even if you're in a really conservative business and you're like, Gillette, I got to wear a tie. I always tell those guys, it's fine. Let's do one without, just so you can see how it looks. Sometimes they have a use for it and sometimes we don't, but hey, at least we tried it. But I can tell you what, oh, you're an investment guy. Okay. Then yeah, you should probably wear a tie. It's a conservative business, but no, I tend to work with younger people. I tend to work with people in tech. Then okay, maybe it's not right. There's no hard and fast rule for any of this stuff. I think the only rule is you get to try different things, because you never know. Because sometimes things that you might think wouldn't work can be amazing, especially in this frame. The way that I compose headshots, we're not seeing a ton of the clothing. And so I'll shoot guys in a polo sometimes, or I shot my buddy JR the other day. He's got a podcast and he's been working on himself in just a really simple black sweater, crew neck sweater, and his shoulders and his traps and everything look great, but it's simple. It's really simple. And that guy who's got on the pinstripe suit with the tie clip and the what all the, and that's in the office. And it looks like another worker bee. Whereas my buddy JR looks like he's a somebody. It's simple stuff like that. I love to try. Doesn't work for everybody though.
Perfect. Hey, now we got a few minutes to go. What should people be looking at if they're looking to hire a photographer to do that headshot for them for work and so on?
There are a couple of tips I can give you. Obviously, you don't want to look at people's work and maybe something will speak to you, or maybe you've seen a friend who you think, oh my God, she didn't look as good as that. Who did that shot? But here are a couple of tests that you can do. Number one, when you're looking at the photographer's portfolio, look at each shot and then put your finger up on the screen and cover up their mouths and just look at their eyes. If you can tell they're smiling, that's a good shot. That's an authentic expression. If they look scared or freaked out, it's not a good one. And then you got to ask yourself, why is that picture in their portfolio? Only answer I can come up with is that they don't see it. And that's a terrible sign. That is somebody who's just, turn this way now. Okay, click. Okay. And they're not going to help you with it. So do the mouth cover.
So what you're really saying, if you're not seeing that, you have somebody that doesn't have an eye for what they don't have the eye.
They don't have the eye. Because why would they put that shot up there? And the next thing would be figure out what their procedure is, because a lot of these people will take your headshots and then later put up a gallery of pictures for you to select from. That means you're not reviewing shots while you're there. That is a terrible sign for multiple reasons. One, I've talked to these people. I know some of them are just scared to, and so that's a terrible sign. But it means that you're not getting any feedback. You're not getting any coaching. Hey, look, see how this looks like this, and see the head tilt, see how it looks sweeter. So that's why I tilted you like that. You're not getting any of that. And then you don't know whether you like the shots or not. How do you know? So we've talked about very discreet things here, but most of this stuff is a matter of aesthetic opinion. Reasonable people can disagree about it. Plus, it's really weird for that individual because it's their face. They see themselves differently than you and I do. God knows what Sally Smith said to him in seventh grade. We don't know, and he may not even tell us, but he's carrying around some stuff that affects how he sees all of this. And we'll never figure out unless we're looking at the shots and talking about it. And you go, oh, he doesn't like that his ear. Okay, then let's go this way, or whatever it is. Reviewing the shots is very important. And if their procedure does not include that, to me, that would be a bad candidate.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I remember doing that thing. They had this big, it was like a big TV, and he had an assistant there, and he just said, that one gone. It was almost like I didn't like them. They're the ones he threw away anyways. And then he boiled it down to about 20 of them. And then it was like, what do you think about this one, Steve? I like that one better. And we got it down to the top five. But that was a quick process, but I really liked the one we selected. So I can understand that point, because obviously that person and I, and they're also getting paid by somebody else other than me to do it, because it's all professional and everybody makes money off it. So that was wonderful. So here's the big question. Is there anything else that people should know before they hire somebody?
I think we've covered some really good information that you're not going to see anywhere. It's not going to be on some BuzzFeed list. It's only Saving with Steve. That's it. I would say something encouraging. I would say that every one of us can look like the best version of ourselves. I don't want to get like too touchy-feely here, but if you think, oh, I can't take a good picture, I get that all the time. Most people who come in here report some version of, I don't like taking pictures. I never take pictures. I don't like pictures of me. I feel very uncomfortable about pictures. They report similar stuff. And they all walk out of here with stuff where they're happy with how it turned out. And so it is possible. It doesn't just fall out of the sky, though. You can't go in there and just say, maybe, because that was me when I was a lawyer. And that last time when I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like, I don't really know what to do, but hey, maybe it'll work out tomorrow morning. It didn't work out tomorrow morning. I looked freaked out. But it's like anything in life. If you just leave it up to chance, probably going to go so well. But if you plan And again, if I were like giving my sister advice, I'd say, look, find somebody in your area who's going to be a good coach who can help you, and you can get much closer to an idealized version of yourself as possible. And to the extent you don't like that idealized person of yourself or version of yourself, use that as motivation to improve yourself in the real world so that next time you do it, you'll be that much better.
That's wonderful. Hey, Chris, could you share your website with us so we can make sure our listening and viewing audience gets a chance to hear that? And if they're in your area or need your help, they can connect with you.
No, I would love to. Go check out the classic clothes and the great necklines on the women. So my last name is Gillette, but it's spelled wrong. I don't know why my ancestors didn't put an E on the end. So it looks like Gillette or Gillette. So my website is like the razor, because that's what I'm used to telling people. Steve got it right, but if he didn't, I would say, Steve, it's like the razor. Liketherazor.com.
Liketherazor.com, folks. Chris, I want to thank you for being here today. Hope you have a wonderful rest of 2026. And folks, we'll stick with us. We'll be right back with more of Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to your YouTube channel so you never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook. Join us with the Steve Sexton Insiders Club, savingwithsteve.us, to get all our replays and exclusive access to our shows, videos, guest gifts, the whole shot. You can go right there. Now, with that, you know what? I want to thank Chris Gillette for being here to talk about refreshing your brand in 2026. But right now, I want to talk to you about, you know what, folks? For those of you who have been active listeners to this this podcast, the show, over the last 12 months, I said at the beginning of January of last year, that's 2025, the theme for this 2025 would be the administrations versus the 10-year treasury. And boy, that became a battle. End of the day, interest rates were being reduced. We saw the rate reductions late in the year, but the independent, the 10-year treasury, which is based off market and economic conditions, decided to stay where it was at just a little bit over 4%. This is something that will be permeating for the rest of the year, especially since we see, you know, and we'll have to see what the new Federal Reserve chairman that is coming on board will do. Now, one of the things to think about here is this: when inflation is over 4%, well, that means you're going to see still higher prices in this grocery stores and stuff like that. We are seeing oil prices come down, but we are really not seeing the decrease in prices at the store. But let's talk about where we are today. Here's something for you to think about. With all the hoopla, invasion, we can really lose sight of the reality that can affect your lifestyle or your legacy, especially if you're in that 60-65 range and you've retired. So let's think about this. We've been looking at valuations all last year, and the valuations are outrageous. Think about it. The S&P 500 is currently trading at 22 times its forward earnings. This is very expensive valuation. And that always eventually coincides with a steep decline in the index. Now, that's not saying that something's going to happen. The world is getting a little nutty, as you've seen. Still a lot of froth in the market, a lot of euphoria, a lot of unrealistic expectations. But at the end of the day, this something that has happened kind of goes back to you. So when we, will history repeat itself? It's kind of a warning for future. So listen to this. The past three times this happened, one, the dot-com era, S&P 500 topped 22 in late 1990s. And the S&P dropped 49%. Next, we have the pandemic. The S&P topped 22 times its forward earnings. And again in 2022, look at what happened in 2022. Again, the S&P dropped 25%. And then we have the elections here. Just last year in 2024, we're talking April. The S&P topped 24 times forward earnings. And it dropped 19%. This doesn't signal any type of market crash, but the S&P has always declined sharply after reaching such an expensive valuation. Folks, here are some questions that you want to ask if you're managing your own portfolio or you want to be asking your advisor. What should I be asking right now? What should I be concentrating on, folks? You know, get those pens and papers ready. Listen to this again, because you need to answer these things for yourself if you're self-managing. Or the person you hired needs to be asked these questions, and they need to be able to give you solid answers. So the first question is dealing with uncertainty, and we all know we have a lot of that. But let me tell you, uncertainty for the next foreseeable future will be, ruling a lot of decisions, and we are in an uncertain world. So how is your portfolio engineered to navigate through this uncertainty to ensure you come through unscathed with your lifestyle intact? So how is that going to occur? Question number two, is your portfolio, your current portfolio, engineered to take advantage of the good times? Is it set up for the good? How is it set up? Remember, folks, in chaos, there's always opportunity. And number three, for months, Wall Street has been saying there's this big red balloon floating around Wall Street looking for a pin. We all know when a pin hits a balloon, bam, it pops. The third question you need to be asking yourself or your advisor, is my portfolio engineered to absorb losses? Because folks, you know what? You have a choice what route you want to take. There's no rule that says you have to stay on that train. You know how simple it is to get on another train? You jump off, hop on. Same thing with financial well-being. All it takes is a simple, small, intelligent strategy adjustment to adjust course for your financial well-being. That said, I want to thank you today. I want to thank Chris Gillette today for sharing all that information about taking the right headshot and refreshing your personal brand here in 2026. And folks, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.